morning. Today is a Friday in all shapes and sizes, the 20th of January. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer.
Good morning. 20th of January.
Payday.
Payday. At least here at the radio station.
I knew it meant something. Are you guys 5 and 20 or?
We're every
10?
Other week.
Oh.
Every other Friday.
Oh, so you get the two extras.
We get one 20. Extra every 10 years. I think that's how that works. Oh, two extras every year, and then yet one extra every 10 to 11 years.
So there's a year every 10 years you get three extra pays?
You get 27 paychecks in a year.
Gee, do you think she's involved with the numbers? Are you ready for it?
Never.
Now, it's been a very successful month so far. I keep doing this as a preference, preface, rather. Fred got it. We've had, two or three this week, Winston?
This isn't a preface. This is just a pressure point.
Sure. Okay, we'll go with that one. All right. Well, let's see if we can find fly off the handle. Not that that ever happens at
local government.
City of Arcata. But
fly off the handle.
Why do we say fly off the handle?
All right. So pumping water wells, churning butter, so fast that you let go. Who's the friend I need to phone? Did you say I got it right? Was that Steve Madrone? Mike Wilson?
You said friend?
Friend. Of course I said friend, Brian. And I say friend about you.
Okay. Well, I guess we're working with the definitions a little bit this morning. All right, here we go. Fly off the handle. If you've ever seen a person fly off the handle, you may have been impressed at the energy and the speed involved with what that eruption of anger represents. Frontiersmen found it hard to control their tempers when tools suddenly failed them. A common cause of such a turn of events was the shrinkage of wood, universally used for tool handles. Like with a maul or an axe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've never had one of those?
I have.
A pickaxe?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden
of
it's
those.
On your hands? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. After having hung in a shed for a few months, the handle of a hoe or a rake was likely to come off after a few strokes. In the case of an axe, badly worn or shrunken wood is positively dangerous because the head of the tool can come loose at the first swing. When the blade of an axe flies off the handle, it endangers the user and everyone standing nearby.
Now we are stating the obvious.
That makes it almost as great a source of danger as a violent explosion of temper.
There you go. No, I wasn't even close. Yeah.
I can remember Dad used to put, not that this is the topic for this morning, but the malls,
mm-hmm.
a bucket, and it always was water.
And water.
The head. And that end of the handle, just so it would always be swollen. Okay.
Okay, you're finding your father was wiser than you thought.
This is not a session.
But that is a smart idea. Yeah. I have only been on the breaking handle of a mall once. So, and once
breaking handle or slidden?
No, it broke.
Sliding.
But I think,
oh, really?
I think it was just the wood dried out, I think, which is shocking here in Humboldt County.
I did that once, but it was you missed the target, and you hit the neck of the handle instead of the maul.
Well, we've all done that, too.
Yeah, that one.
Reverberates.
That was like hitting it right off the hands playing baseball. A little shocker.
It is a cold morning, I guess, is why we're reflecting on chopping wood.
Oh, yes, yes. We're thinking of chopping wood and putting it in the fireplace, of course. Oh, boy. So how the project's going? Last time we got together,
good.
I think you were...
Yeah.
Were you going out to bid?
We could have been. We actually, just this week, Wednesday night, we did a groundbreaking on the phase one of our wastewater treatment plant. So
Wednesday night? You didn't do it during daytime when people could be there?
Well, we did it, right at 5 o'clock. And surprisingly, or just maybe poetically, the clouds cleared. It literally rained from 12 to 4, and then we had... absolutely blue skies, a beautiful sunset for the quick groundbreaking. And then we just did it right before our council meeting, so 5 o'clock, and we had a 6 o'clock council meeting.
Retreat back in real fast.
Yeah, but we had a lot of turnout from Wallen Construction and our local subs. There are so many individuals that are thrilled to be working locally for the next 2.5 years on a project.
I would imagine You know, if you had given me a 2.5 year advertising contract, I probably would have been there also. Just a thought, you know, either you want to keep me in town or keep me out, your choice.
Either way, yeah, that's the way to do it.
And thus far, it appears like it's the latter, not the former.
The year is still young.
Yeah, fair enough.
But so that's off and running, which is fabulous.
So is there physical stuff happening at this point? I mean, so you go by and they can actually see dirt in the air and things happening.
Yep, you can see dirt in the air. Their construction trailers are moved in. Stuff is starting to get dug out. We're starting to get equipment in. There's a lot of equipment replacement, a lot of old 40, 50-year equipment that will be replaced in this phase. And the UV disinfection is under construction, and most of that will be delivered in big parts, and then will start to be implemented and put in. So, I mean, that's the biggest change. There are more changes that feel more significant to our staff that operate the system every day. But from a community standpoint, the change from chemical disinfection to UV disinfection, which then doesn't have any chemical byproduct as we put into Humble Bay, ultimately our discharge water from our wastewater system, that's just been a long time goal for the community. And it's just really an exciting aspect of this project.
Is that a moneymaker or is that a environmental benefit? Don't say both.
I don't think I'm going to say both.
Okay.
I think we're going to hope for cost neutral, and we're definitely guaranteed the environmental benefit.
So it's one less step that you have to go through? Is that?
Oh, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean UV, if there's chlorine, you have to be putting chlorine in somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what I was getting.
Yeah, and there's another bonus. It's a good point because, we carry 1-ton chlorine cylinders, so ultimately getting away from just having that as a material.
Is that like a salt lick out in the field kind of thing?
No, they come in tanks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a propane tank, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty traditional, isn't it?
Or very long time disinfection product. Yeah.
Across the country, that would be where a majority
of them. Standard. Yeah.
Aren't you glad you don't have tornadoes and hurricanes to blow it all up?
I am. I really was surprised when there was a tornado in Modesto. I have never even heard of a tornado that close to us.
There wasn't a football team, right?
There you go.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Karen, the project, the big project, the one with the tanks that don't fly.
That's right, the flying tanks.
Is in place and things are starting to happen. What about some of the other projects? There's been, you go to any kind of governmental meeting and somehow, I think housing is now part of the agenda template that everybody works off of. Because it doesn't matter what you're there for, housing is going to be talked about. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing any relief? Is Humboldt starting to make some inroads? The privacy, is there stuff happening there?
Yeah. This month also, the council upheld a permit. So we do have 102 new units, small kind of studio apartments in the Westwood neighborhood. On a permit that the Planning Commission approved.
Is that in the field next to the grocery store?
It is behind there. Yeah,
okay.
It's an existing complex called Westwood Gardens, and it's adding on to that complex. And But it's going to be a big impact for the neighbors that live in that existing complex, right? To be, you know, basically the majority of the open space that they have, you know, come to enjoy will be taken up by housing units. So the decision on the Planning Commission was appealed to the council, but they did uphold the Planning Commission's decision. So that will be under construction. Cal Poly Humboldt is moving forward with their plans for 950 beds of housing on what we refer to as Craftsman Mall in Arcata.
Now, is that going at the same speed?
That is
private, or because it's state involved and Humboldt is involved, that it's on a different track?
Well, they don't go through city planning, right? So they go through the state architect and they go through the Board of Trustees. So they're taking their project to the Board of Trustees this month. In January, and they are still, you know, working to negotiate. One of the issues that has come up in Arcata is the concern from Arcata Fire about being able to protect residential structures that are higher than four stories. So we're working
like a new fire truck
with them.
What have you needed?
Potentially. I mean, Arcata Fire once had a ladder truck. You know, it was expensive to maintain, and they chose to remove that from their fleet. I think the real issue is staffing levels, having enough staff on a shift in a moment to be able to fight, to secure, and or to evacuate a structure of that size. I think there are some studies that are needed. We've met with the fire department. We've agreed to help try to find funding for those studies for them. But I think really honing in on what that scope of work looks like, you know, is a next step for us.
Are there any five stories buildings? The Victorians in Old Town
Yeah, I think Eureka has several five stories. A facility like Jacoby Storehouse is four stories, but it's probably the height of what you might build in a five-story facility now.
Sure, if you have 20-foot floors instead of 10-foot.
Right.
Yeah.
The Behavioral Sciences building up on campus, certainly. The Creamery District, the Creamery building would have been probably the height of, you know, what you could probably fit five stories
in. Maybe the Pythian Castle on the downhill side?
Yeah, I mean, we have several that would hit that four-story, level. I mean, we just built Sorrell Place as an affordable housing at four stories in Arcata.
Is that the one with the cool colors?
That could be Plaza Point, but it could be Sorrell. The newest one, they're kind of on either side of the plaza or of the co-op.
Yeah. Kind of looks Bay Area-esque, which I thought was kind of intriguing with all the design review challenges over the decades that have been in place. These guys, unless there's a whole new concept that's everybody wants, doesn't look like a lot of the other buildings in the neighborhood. I guess is the simplest way.
Yeah.
So as you go through design review with some of these different projects, is there a standard? I remember John Corbett sharing the challenges he had when they were doing the co-op with the types of plants they want to put in the planter. Okay, well, these things are a little bit different. Is that laxed now?
I wouldn't say that it's laxed, but I would say that developers are more creative about how they work within the codes that exist. Arcata is right now going through long-range planning, and I would say the biggest piece of that is building what is called a form-based code. So it's independent standards that if a developer can follow those standards that the community has set, that their permitting, you know, hopefully becomes streamlined and easier to get through to the to the end process. A developer wants certainty, probably above anything else. I mean, of course, they want good prices on building materials, but literally, I think their number one priority would be certainty. If you tell me what you want built in your community, if I can make that pencil out and I know I'm going to get a permit, then I'll move forward. The hard part is when they go through a ton of design and a ton of environmental, you know, review to get to an endpoint where the community or the decision makers or our code says, no, that's not what we want in our community.
Or worse yet, it's redefined, reinterpreted.
Right.
New staff change.
Sure. Yeah. You sound like you speak from experience. So I really encourage people to tune in. Just last night, we had one of our workshops on our development of that form-based code. They're all on our YouTube channel, so you can go back and participate that way and then give feedback. But now is the time to get involved and engaged if you're interested in what Arcata looks like in 20 years.
Or today.
Or today.
I would suspect, too. But you don't get popcorn if you watch it on YouTube.
If you need popcorn, you just give City Hall a call. Yeah, we want you engaged in our planning. We'll bring you popcorn.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. The concept of form-based codes sounds like it's way cool.
It does.
And yeah, you know how often I say that.
First time I've ever heard it.
Is this like, new phrase. Is this a fill-in-the-blank concept? So that if you choose A, B, C, or D, it's almost like prior approval. If you go to E and there's other, Right. Okay, now we're going to review that.
Yep.
But if it's the other, if it's one of the other options that are there, Right. It almost guarantees that it's going to go through a lot quicker. You're not subject to the same amount of review because you're playing by the rules, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the intent. If done right, I think that's what it provides. It provides the community certainty that they know what the built environment will look like, and it provides developers certainty of what the standard is that they need to be, you know, adhering to in their planning. It just takes a lot of work up front. And you opened this segment by saying that almost all local governments that you tune into are talking about housing, and at least in California, it's in part because the governor and the state of California really has declared themselves in a housing crisis, and they are taking every opportunity they can to remove control from local governments around housing and standards.
And so like general plans, housing elements, all local coastal plans, they want control out of Sacramento for all those?
Many of us would say yes, and we're seeing legislation every single year either introduced or passed that continues to take control away from local government. So what we're hearing is that if communities don't have codes in place, you know, that have set standards, that going through lengthy discretionary reviews are simply not going to be allowed at the state level. You know, you're going to have independent standards in place that are then, you know, basic criteria for all housing coming into your community. So it's a good time to be in this planning process. We do have a lot of the community engaged, and I think we're going to get a really good product.
What happened to the concept of local control?
I think the state of California believes that we haven't produced enough housing units as a result. I disagree with that on a local level. I think there are thousands and thousands of housing units approved for development in the state of California. There are at least hundreds, if not thousands, approved locally that have not been constructed yet for market condition reasons. But at a state level, you see at least this governor, I think, believes that one of the barriers to housing has been local government, and you see it in legislation passed every year.
Funny, I would have thought it would be the cost of workers' comp and other things that drive the cost of doing projects up so that it's not affordable for the business operator to do it.
Here we are, agreeing on a Friday morning. No.
I guess I'm just a little too myopic.
You heard it straight from Brian Papstein.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget, we're linked on this one. You said us. You're going to have to carry that baggage all by yourself. It seems stunning. Stunning is the right word, that our representatives would be in favor of doing this, or they wouldn't be raising such a stink about it, that it would become almost a third rail issue politically and everybody would want to get away. You're taking control away from the elected, putting it in the hands of somebody who's hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away to make the determination whether or not somebody can build in your neighborhood. That just smacks of something that just is not comfortable.
I think there are a lot of people in the state of California recognizing this housing crisis, and they put a lot of pressure on their local electeds to get housing built. I don't know why they would do that.
Then that, I think, is realistic in a lot of areas, but there are a lot of reasons why it hasn't happened.
Right.
And this would seem to be compounding those.
Time will tell.
Yeah. All right.
But we'll do our best.
I hear what you're saying.
We'll
stop beating up. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah. It's not me that you're beating up. I just can't, you know, I can't defend a policy that, you know, we probably didn't support at a local government level. But at the same time, we are seeing, you know, we certainly do not have enough housing being built in the state of California to house those that are interested in living.
And that makes sense. And there's not the workforce to be able to make that happen either. And there doesn't seem to be a willingness for those who are not in the labor pool who are not inclined to work to step up and be paid even at what some of us perceive as inflated rates. So, I mean, you can do everything
now
you want.
Now we might diverge on that. On that topic, we might
no.
diverge.
No. Well, it would be interesting to see what the enrollment was in vocational programs and the number of mentors or, I guess that would be the easiest way to think of it, you know, through the JCs and classes that are being offered in for plumbing and construction and all these types of things that all lead up to this, what the enrollment is like there.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not there, you can't AI this thing.
Right.
I don't think. Was that a duck or a crab?
Uh-huh.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time. Winston, do we have the picture of the crab on the website also, along with the duck?
I sent it.
Okay. Well, so if you're truly bored, you can go to the website and see exactly what we're referencing. It's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So what's springtime look like for you right now? Are these projects, I mean, if we look outside, it's nice and sunny and a little chilly. But
yeah, for the first day of the year.
Yeah. But the temptation then is to think, okay, this is what we're going to be doing. Let's get ahead of the curve. And is that really all that wise?
It's kind of funny that you say that. We have, for the past, I think, 3 years, we've done a paving project in January. We will not be doing that this year. But we were just reflecting on it last week. I was like, remember, we've been paving in January. We've had such mild years. So we're actually welcoming the rain this year, and we're going to let Mother Nature have its winter in Arcata. But we're really in the planning stage. You know, we've got some really fun projects coming up. We've got full funding to do renovations of Carlson Park, which is out along the Mad River.
Wait, renovations? I thought you just built that.
No, we just bought it. I mean, we just we acquired a little piece of property. Most of the property came from Caltrans. And then we've been working on just finding money for the last 4 years to try to get that park developed. And then we're also really looking at a revamp of Redwood Park, so a full new playground and what we call a bike pump track. So it's a small
pump?
Yeah,
track?
So it's like a small mountain biking track that you can learn skills before you head up into the forest and you're on the real trail. So sort of,
not survival skills.
And learning, all sorts of skills, So those are a couple of our exciting, and then from the neighborhood parks, we're looking at renovating one that's called Bloomfield Park. So,
by the old school?
By the old Bloomfield School, yep, in that neighborhood. Yeah. Now we're dating ourselves.
Things make sense. Well, I don't. Are we? It's been that long?
I think so.
Well, that's frightening.
Yeah. But it's a great little neighborhood park. And unfortunately, during the pandemic, most of the equipment just got to a point that we had to pull it out. So there's not much there. But the neighborhood's been involved in planning and choosing what they'd like to see in that neighborhood park. And so we're working on the plans for those. So we'll be working on final plans, and we'll be getting things out to bid this spring and looking at a real full construction summer.
Do you have staff for that?
No, nope. They're stretched thin and they're doing awesome work and we don't have enough. But that's been Arcata's way for the, I'll date myself, over 26 years that I've been there. We've never quite had enough staff, but we have really ambitious folks and we're going to take it on, and it will be spectacular.
Yeah, it's not much of a date.
Yeah.
The 26 years part.
Not the only place I've ever worked. Just the longest.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Biggest surprise for the community?
Biggest
for
surprise
for this year? What do you think will be either the wow or something akin to that?
Wow, biggest surprise. I think I'm hoping for a year of no surprises. I think that's what I'm hoping for. You know, I think one of the things that I hear is that Cal Poly Humboldt's enrollment is just going to boom. And I think it's going to be metered growth. And I think we'll start to see that. They do have a lot of applications, way more than double what they normally would have in terms of interest. But I think in terms of metering in that enrollment increase, we're gonna start to see increases, but it's not going to be this boom. We're going to see it, just kind of in a gradual incline as we go through. And I'm hoping that through that, what we'll see is our businesses start to gear up and the community start to gear up to be able to support that growth. I mean, we're still so far from even being at enrollment levels of 2016-17, right? So just at least metering back up to those levels, I think, gets us at an economic point that is much more comfortable for the Arcata community.
As that growth occurs, culturally, though, there will be a change. Is the community ready for that?
We've been a university town, certainly, for much longer than I've lived here. I think that cultural shift is here. I do. I just think it's always been a university town. So I don't think that takes a cultural shift. I think in some of the outlying communities, like we did see in 2015, 16, 17, you'll see more impacted housing as you get out towards McKinleyville and Manila.
Well, I remember a kid, I was on the team when I was at Humboldt.
Yeah.
Drew lived out in Blue Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of it, he was a fisheries major, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was far less concentrated with the housing than what it has been in the last little bit. And I kind of find it intriguing that there's almost a sense of ownership that, oh no, the students have to live in Arcata McKinleyville. That's where they belong. We have to build up that. They can't live in Eureka. They can't live in Fortuna. They can't live in Blue Lake. Driving in from Trinidad's too far. And maybe it was as the population was condensing, that's made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suspect as the student body grows, you're going to have people who want to live in these areas. And it's not going to be perhaps the way that it's being thought of at this point.
Well, in Cal Poly, especially with the Polytech growth, is really looking at a lot of their scientific, oceanic, technical programs in Eureka. So, I mean, I think we'll see a lot of growth with the university.
That building down on the bay?
What building down in the bay? Happy Friday.
I think it's called Aquatic Center. I don't know.
Oh, that one. Okay.
See everybody Monday.